Hebrews 1. Now this epistle, it says the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. This epistle was written by Paul, and it was written to the Hebrew believers, Jewish believers, scattered all over the world. And in this epistle, Paul brings together for these Hebrews the Old Testament and the New Testament. These Hebrew believers, many of them were students of the Old Testament. Some of them had been teachers of the Old Testament. And Paul, in this epistle, brings together the Old Testament and the New Testament as no other epistle. Now, Paul was the one best able to write this epistle to the Hebrew believers concerning the Old Testament types and tabernacle, priesthood, and sacrifices, because he was a Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew. He said in Philippians 3, you don't turn to it, most of you are familiar with it. He said in Hebrews 3, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I was a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish Hebrew court, concerning the law, blameless. And I was so steeped in Hebrew beliefs and doctrine that I persecuted what I now believe, the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may seem strange to you that the Apostle Paul's name does not appear in this epistle. He wrote 13 other epistles, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans. And in every salutation, he uses his name, I, Paul. Paul the Apostle, so forth and so on. Always Paul, Paul, Paul. He always begins Paul, or Paul and Timothy, Paul and Silas. But always his name, 13 epistles, his name, up to the fourth one, identifying the person God used to write it. But when he wrote this one, he didn't begin with his name. And I've searched and struggled to find out why. And I'm not sure that I know why, but I've got an idea I got from someone else. His name was not affixed to this epistle by the Spirit of God, by Paul on purpose, probably, I say probably, because he was primarily apostle to the Gentiles. You remember when God called him? There were 11 apostles. Judas had committed suicide. He was a son of perdition from the beginning. But the disciples ran ahead of God and tried to replace Judas with a fellow called Matthias by the means of casting lots, which was unwise. But we can understand unwise people, can't we? Unwise things. But God chose Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, a Hebrew of Hebrews, revealed Christ to him, saved his soul, revealed the gospel to him, taught him the gospel, and made him, he said to Ananias, an apostle to the Gentiles. He'll bear my name to the Gentiles. And on one occasion, Paul rebuked the Jews, and he got angry with them, and he said, you won't have it, I've turned to the Gentiles. And he wrote this epistle to the Hebrews. And a man said this, and I think he's got something. He was primarily an apostle to the Gentiles, and he had stirred up among the Hebrews some delicate feelings. And God, in his divine purpose, sent this epistle without the name of the writer. And sometimes we can pick up something and read it, and maybe it's a good thing we don't know who wrote it, because that may influence our acceptance or the way it's a blessing to us. And that's the only reason I can find. But it's clear that Paul wrote it. There's too many evidences that Paul wrote it. And he wrote it to the Hebrews. And in this epistle, we're going to look at chapter 1 and 2 today, but Paul shows how all the promises and prophecies and types that God gave to these Hebrews and their forefathers are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He shows in this epistle to these Hebrews the excellency of Christ over Moses and over the law, over the tabernacle, over the priesthood. They held those things in the highest. In fact, the Apostle Peter, even years after our Lord chose him and called him and anointed him and sent him and blessed him, even years later, he still had a struggle with this law business. He'd been taught it all his life. The holy days, the Sabbath days, the tithe, the sacrifices, the ceremonies, the feasthood, the feast days, and the Jews' place in the favor of God and the Gentile rejection. And Paul shows these Hebrews in this epistle the superiority of Christ over all these things, Moses, over the angels, over the priesthood, over Aaron, the sons of Levi, over the tabernacle, over the sacrifices, and shows the efficacy of Christ's precious blood and how that his blood does away with all the sacrifices. And his rest does away with all the holy days. And his glory does away with the mercy seat. And we're talking about something that had been in practice 2,000 years. 2,000 years. Typical. And Paul shows how that. And this comes as a strong point. He shows the glory of the new covenant over the old covenant with its types and pictures. And he shows how true rest in Christ is better. Now that's a key word. Let me give you two key words for Hebrews. Two key words. The first is this. This man. This man. Take all the other men and angels. This man. Let me show you that. And you can write these scriptures down. Look at Hebrews 3:3. Hebrews 3, chapter 3. We're talking about Christ now. The man, Christ Jesus. Christ who became a man. Verse 3. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. This man. All right. Hebrews 7:24. Now you just underscore that this man. Hebrews 7:24. Verse 24, Hebrews 7. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an ever unchanging, unchangeable priesthood. You see, Paul's taking all that went before. Abraham, Moses, Enoch, Isaac, David, the angels, Aaron, the Levite. But he said, but this man. But this man. All right. Look now at chapter 8, verse 3, right across the page. Every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it's of necessity that this man has somewhat to offer. This man. The God-man. And then Hebrews 10:12. Look at this one. He talked about verse 11. Every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man.
after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You see that? You take the book of Hebrews and you hold in your hand that word, this man, but this man. And everything in the book of, in the Old Testament that Hebrews deals with, he's better. Now, let me show you the better. The word better in reference to Christ occurs seven times. And you want to write these down or underscore them. In our text, Hebrews 1:4. Being made so much better than the angels. I tell you, if there's someone or something better, I want to know it, don't you? Better. I want to know. I don't want to be satisfied with something that's inferior when you can have something better. And he's better. That's what I said. All right. Hebrews 7:19. This is the key to this book. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect, much less you and me. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. A better hope. Look at verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, covenant. There's a better covenant. The old covenant with Moses or Abraham or David is a better covenant. I want the better covenant, don't you? Hebrews 8:6, right across the page. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Better promises. God promised Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. We got a better land. He promises them a king. We've got a better king. All these things he promised. Better. Better promises. Chapter 9, verse 23. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, that is, with blood, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. These typical sacrifices serve their day as types and shadows. His blood is a better sacrifice. And then verse chapter 11, verse 16. Chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country. Abraham looked for a better country, didn't he? Better than Canaan, a heavenly country, wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. And chapter 11, verse 35. Women receive their dead raised to life again. When? Well, Elijah raised a woman's son. Elisha raised one son. Some receive their dead to life again. But now wait a minute. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Better. That's what Hebrews is all about. So let's look at it for a few moments. Hebrews 1. It says, God, who at various times, that is, in separate revelations, he set forth the truth. He spake to our fathers. There were times of silence and times when God was pleased to speak. We need to realize that even now. The times when God speaks. I don't know how far I can carry this. There are times when we pray. And there are times when we go through the motions. There are times when we worship. There are times when we try. There are times when we hear from God. There are other times, David said, when the heavens are like brass. Isn't that right? This happy all the time just ain't so. This open line, red phone to heaven all the time just is not reality. God spake to our fathers at various times. So it's a pretty good idea to be listening when he does have something to say. Pretty good idea to be present when God does speak. He spoke to our fathers in different manners or ways by the prophets. You see, the Lord raised up prophets. And to those prophets, he revealed his ways. Psalm 103 said he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. If the children of Israel wanted to know God's ways, they had to hear Moses. That's just true. He raised up prophets and revealed his ways to the prophets and spoke to the prophets by the people. And the prophets spoke of Christ. A lot of people think the prophets ran around predicting the future. There were times when they did tell the people what the future held as far as God dealing with them. But the prophets didn't run around amazing people with their unusual knowledge of what was going to happen. They went around telling people about Christ Jesus, how God saved sinners. Could I show you that, a few verses? John 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures. Now that's the prophets wrote the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. That's what the scriptures are all about. The things concerning me, he said. Look at verse 46. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. He wrote of me. God spake to our fathers by the prophets. And he spake to the prophets, to the people through the prophets about Christ. Acts chapter 3. Look at this. Acts chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. What was the message of the prophets? Christ, the coming of Christ, the character of Christ, the work of Christ. Acts 3, 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. What did God show by the mouth of the prophets? God spake to our fathers by the prophets. Well, what did he speak? How Christ should suffer. Look at Acts 10, verse 43. And then I'll move on. Acts 10, 43. Verse 42 of Acts 10. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it's Christ who was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. God spake to our fathers by the prophets. All right, verse 2. He hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. What does that mean, in these last days? Brother man, you believe we're in the last days? Emphatically, decidedly, completely. We have been in the last days since Christ was here. When the Bible uses the term these last days, it's talking, every time it uses that word, it talks about from Christ to Christ, from his first coming till his second coming. These are the last days. Now some teach, and I'll give you this, some teach that what is called the last days are called the last days, this period of time, because the duration of the world
they believe will be 6,000 years. From the creation to Moses is 2,000 years. From creation of this world, when God said, let there be light, to Moses was 2,000 years. From Moses to the manger in Bethlehem, when Christ came to this world, was 2,000 years. From the coming of Christ to his return, possibility, 2,000 years, these last days. I'm not sure. I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. One author used the scripture in 2 Peter. Would you want to turn over there? To verify what he believed about it. He believed that we who live near the 20th century, which is 2,000 years from the coming of Christ, were in the closing days of world history, because it says this in 2 Peter 3. Now, this is verse 4 says, and where's the promise of his coming, of his second coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's true in a sense. From the beginning of creation to today, things are about the same. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. By the word of God he spake, and the world was created, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. God said, separate the water, and the dry land appeared by his word. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, that's the flood of Noah, perished. But the heavens and earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. In other words, Christ in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. He spake, and the world was created. He spake, and the world was destroyed by water. And that same world is kept in store by that same Word, his Word, the Word of Christ. All right, read on. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, this is talking to believers, isn't it? Beloved, children of God, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. And that's where some of them believe that 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, 6 days, the seventh day he rested. And this world and its present existence will be 6 days. One day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. I give you that just to think about. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it? It'd be wonderful for Christ to come. All right. God speaks to us. Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. He said God spake to our fathers by the prophets. He's spoken to us by the prophet. The prophet. You know, they said to John the Baptist, to ask him two things. They said, are you the Christ? He said, no. They said, are you that prophet? He said, no. Who is that prophet? Well, it's Christ. I want to ask you to turn to it. Deuteronomy 18. God told Israel by Moses, I'll raise up a prophet from among the brethren, like unto you. I'll put my words in his mouth. You know, Christ said, I speak not my words, but the words of him that sent me. I'll put my words in his mouth. And whosoever hears him will be blessed. And whoever does not hear him will be judged. So we have a prophet. It's his Son. Now let's see who he is.
our prophet. He has spoken to us by His Son. His Son. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. His Son. Whom He hath appointed heir. He's the heir of all things. The Father hath given all things to Christ. In Him all things. That's where it all is, in Christ. By whom He made the worlds. Christ is the Creator. By whom He made the world. Who being the brightness of His glory. You know what that is? Someone gave this illustration. There's the sun. S-U-N, the sun. And you and I see the rays of the sun. There's a sun and its rays which reveal the sun. Which is a part of the sun. Which is, in essence, the sun. You can't separate the sun and the rays. You can't have the rays without the sun. And so Christ is the brightness of God's glory. No man has seen God save the Son, He to whom the Son will reveal it. The Son declare, the rays of the Son declare the Son. So He's the brightness of His glory. The rays and the sun can't be divided, neither can the Godhead. Distinct, but one. It says He's the express image of His person. He that has seen Me has seen the Father. He's the exact image of His person. And He not only created all things, but He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. He said in that great priestly prayer, He said, all authority. You've given Me all authority over all flesh. I raised that hand by His authority. I stand here breathing by His authority. I live and move and have my being in Him. He upholdeth all things, but by Him all things are held together. Christ, that's right. That's who I'm talking about. And what did He do when He had by Himself, He became a man. Himself took our flesh and blood. Himself became obedient to His law. Himself was born of a woman and lived and died. Himself lay in a tomb. By Himself. When Abraham and Isaac were walking up that mountain, Isaac was carrying the wood and the fire, and his father walking along with a knife, and he said, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the lamb? Where's your lamb? Where's my lamb? Where's our lamb? Can't come to the Father without a lamb, without a sacrifice, without blood. My son, God will provide Himself a lamb. Himself. By Himself. Took God to save us. Took an act of God, will of God, power of God, death of God. God could create a world by speaking a word. But to redeem that world, He had to die on a cross. By Himself. And watch it, by Himself. Without any help. Without any help from you or me or anyone else. Alone. He walked the wine press of God's wrath alone. By Himself. And by Himself, He purged our sins. He purged our sins. Let me read you some good news. Turn to Hebrews 10. You know, I don't know. I talk about preaching from Hebrews. I don't even know where to turn. Just anywhere in Hebrews. But Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He hath purged our sins. Who is he? His son, heir, brightness of his Shekinah glory, the exact image of his person, who upholdeth all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, where is he now? Listen. Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now listen to me. We preach the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That's essential and vital. God became a man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Virgin birth. I believe it. You believe it. God became a man. We preach the life and righteousness of our Lord. He lived a perfect life. He was in total submission, agreeably, lovingly to the will of his Father, whatever it was. Thy will be done. Perfect righteousness. Never offended in word or deed. Died on that cross as a sin offering for every believer. Effectual, redeeming death. He was buried and he rose again. But I'm saying this, the whole of his work and our hope depends on where he is now. Where he is. Where is your Lord now? David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. That's our hope. Our hope is this, that our substitute not only was born, lived, and died, but he was accepted. That our great high priest has entered in, not to the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself. And that our forerunner is welcomed within the veil. Come in. Now, if an enemy comes to your door, you say, be gone. If a person you don't care for comes to your door, you'll talk to him a moment and then close it. When a beloved son or daughter or friend comes, welcome. Come in. Take the best chair, the best seat, the best place. Take my bedroom. Take my bath. Welcome. My Lord Jesus Christ came down here and became a sinner for me and you. Took our guilt, shame, filth, died on that cross, was buried, and God raised him. And he went back to glory, and the Father said, welcome. Welcome. And when he welcomed him, he welcomed you. See that? That's so vital. He sat down. All right, I think I'll read you a verse here from Acts 17 that needs to be read right here. Acts 17, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day, God hath appointed a day in which he's going to judge this world in righteousness by that man, whom he hath ordained, whereof he gave assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. There's the assurance. That man is accepted, and that man is the basis of all judgment. Because he's seated at God's right hand. All right, you're afraid I'm not going to get through, but you're afraid we're going to be here all morning, but the rest of the chapter depends on what I've been saying. I had to stay here because once that's settled, who he is and what he did and where he is, the rest of it just unfolds. Therefore, he said, verse 4, being so much better than the angels, as he hath obtained as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, you're my son. This day have I begotten you. And again, to which of the angels did he ever say, I'll be to him a father and he'll be to me a son? We're talking about our Redeemer, our High Priest, our Savior. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he said, let the angels of God worship him. That's your Savior. That's your Mediator. Let the angels worship him. I tell you what he did say about the angels. He maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But he said to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever. That's my Lord. But this man, he said to the angel, you're good servants and you're good ministers, but to the Son, thy throne, O God. Let me tell you something. Anybody ever lays a question mark to you about the deity, Godhead, the Godhood of our Lord Jesus Christ? Use these verses. Matthew 1, 21 through 23. When he told Joseph, called his name Jesus, which is a fulfillment of the prophecy, called his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Use this verse, John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Use this verse, John 10:30. I and my Father are one. And then took they up stones to stone him. He said, why are you stoning me? For what work? I've done many good works among you. For what work are you stoning me? They said, we don't stone you for good works. We stone you because you're a man and you say you're God. That's what he was saying. I and my Father are one. Use this verse. Acts 20, verse 28. Paul said to the elders, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God purchased his church with his own blood. God. Use this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And use this verse, Hebrews 1:8. Under the Son he saith, thy throne, O Son of God. No, O God. Is forever. The only throne that's forever is God's throne. And the only throne that's forever is a throne with a scepter of righteousness. And then he talks about our Lord. He says, you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God. And why does he say to the Lord Jesus Christ, thy God, if Christ is God? Christ is a man when he says this to him. He's speaking to him as a man on a mission, as a mediator. That's when Christ said, the words that I speak are not mine, but the words that sent me, of him that sent me. When God sent him, he sent him as a Messiah, as a Christ, as a man. And as a man, he was subject to God. That's right. He said, even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. And thou, Lord. Now watch this. Still speaking to Christ. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. The heavens declare the glory of God, Christ. Now watch it. They're going to perish. The heavens and the earth are both going to perish. But you're going to remain. They all wax old as a garment. You know, I see over at my house, and I know at your house too, we wear clothes as long as you can wear them, and they get old, don't they? They get ragged, the lining falls out. Don't look too bad on the outside, the lining rots. And what do? We have a box in the basement, we fold them up. Lay them, wear them anymore. Said here, as a vesture, you fold them up. Fold them up. And they change. They rot. Throw them away or something. And that's this world. Heavens and the earth are getting old and decayed. And one of these days, my Lord's just going to fold them up. Put them away. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. He's going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Now, which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? They are ministers. He gives his angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot against the stone. I want to read a scripture in Revelation 21, and I'll close. He said, the heavens and the earth wax old as a garment, and you fold them up and lay them aside. And Revelation 21, verse 1 said, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, would you know who that is? That's Christ. That's Christ. Said, behold, I make all things new. He said to me, now you write, these words are true, and they're faithful. They're true, and they're certain and sure. All right, let's sing number 48.